Did you call me doctor?
You can be.
Oh. Only in the sense that I'm still practicing. That's one profession they physician for many, many years, and he's still practicing. Well, that's the way it is with preaching. We're practicing. Amen. I'm delighted to be here today. Thankful for this opportunity to be with you here at Grace Baptist. The Lord is so good to us in so many ways. I know it's been a hard week for this congregation. Brother Lindsay spoke just a word about it. I listened to the memorial service online, and it was tremendous. I was so blessed and grieved along with this family and church family. But wow, I never heard so much gospel in 29 minutes. Brother Don, it was outstanding. It was outstanding, your pastor. And it was a great tribute to Brother Estes. Aren't you glad, as the Apostle Paul said, that though we sorrow not as others which have no hope? For them, this thing we call death is a hopeless end. But for we which believe, it is an endless hope. There's a better day. There's a better day. Amen. I want to turn this morning in your Bibles, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And verse 17. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That's reading down through verse 27, Mark chapter 9. The passage began, and one of the multitude. That's all any of us are this morning, is one of the multitude. And he comes with this problem. with his son, possessed. And it's been going on since the lad was a child. And this man in verse 23, not as informed as you and I are, said, if thou, not verse 23, verse 22, said to him, if thou canst do anything. We know better than that. There's no if. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I want to call our attention to verse 24, where we hear the desperate cry of a father and with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This is my prayer to the Lord every day of my life. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In those four words, we have several things. First, the person, Lord. He calls him Lord. He does not call him Jesus, does not call him master, teacher. He calls him Lord. He does not call him the man upstairs. He calls him Lord. And we call him Lord this morning. And the second thing, there's the profession. He says, I believe. I believe. I trust everyone here this morning can say that. Lord, I believe. And then third, there's the petition in these words. Help thou. I need help. Is there anyone here this morning needs help? And then fourth, the problem. Mine unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. My subject this morning is unbelieving believers. Unbelieving believers. It is nothing but religious pride in us which would deny that along with our believing, there remains in us a great deal of unbelief. Our adversary, the devil, says to you, just like he does to me, if your faith were genuine, you wouldn't be plagued with so much unbelief. You must not be a true believer. Well, this man we just read about was a true believer. How do I know that? Because only genuine, God-given faith working in a man will bring him to confess, I have a problem with unbelief. It is divine work which brings the new man to speak negatively about the old man. It's folks with no problems at all that bothers me. That no unbelief, no doubts, no hang-ups about anything. They're just skipping across the mountaintops on the way to heaven and valleys don't exist for them. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of that. In accordance with this text, genuine faith does not deny unbelief. It confesses it. It confesses it. Our spirit, which believes God, and our flesh, which cannot believe God, are never reconciled. There is the continual warfare. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other." They never get along. "So that you cannot do the things that you would." Romans 7:18 and 19, Paul said, "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me," oh yes, "but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Oh, that's familiar to every child of God. And this is not just concerning outward deeds Paul's talking about. It also applies to the condition of heart. I would believe this morning without any doubt, but I find myself doubting even in my believing. This man confessed it so clearly, and he petitioned the Lord so earnestly and honestly, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." I refer to two verses from 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul said in verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Paul is speaking to believers now, God's children at Corinth. And he says in verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." That word simplicity means single-mindedness. Paul is simply saying, "I know you're God's children. You're not going to hell. But I fear that Satan will corrupt your minds and you'll be looking somewhere other than at Christ and to Christ." That's the story of unbelieving believers. You say, "But I get so discouraged so easily. Things look so bad sometimes." We tend to forget that no matter what comes or goes in our lives, our Redeemer does not change His mind about us. Lord gave me that thought, and somebody needs to hear that. Regardless of what comes or goes in your life, our Redeemer does not change His mind about you. And we have the beautiful passage in Romans 8:35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Question mark. Who? Now the question there is not who or what shall cause you to feel like the Lord don't love you as you thought He did. Oh no, that's not the question. The question is who or what shall cause Him not to love you as He always has. And of course the answer is nothing. Nothing. But these things catch us off guard, and they lead to discouragement. Discouragement, bad as we hate to face it, is sin. That's a hard pill to swallow. We all like to think that we sometimes have a right to be discouraged. We don't. Why? It charges God with thinking less of us than we thought He did. The passage in Romans 8 said nothing will change God's mind about you. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4. And he's not telling them why he's got to quit. He's telling them why he can't quit. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What was he saying? He's saying it's Christ in me that don't quit. This flesh is nothing but a quitter. Mine and yours. But there's one living on the inside that wants to keep seeking after God. That wants to keep loving and honoring our Redeemer. And will not quit. Will not quit. Well, I want to give us three specifics about this morning. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. There are three things in which our adversary would pervert our thinking and promote unbelief in our hearts even while we believe. Number one is the matter of the universal guilt. Universal guilt. As Adam's children, none are exempt from guilt before the Almighty. Our guiltiness before Him is not just what we do or don't do. It's what we are. We do what we do because of what we are. We're sinners by nature from birth. And we're sinners by choice. We don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. The glove of guilt is one size fits all. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. Now, on the personal level, it is the nature of your fallen nature to compare measures of guilt. That's all wrong. We'd like to say things like, well, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not the sinner so-and-so is. Well, there's just one kind. We're all guilty. We're all part of this mess of fallen humanity, which Paul said in Acts 17:26, are made of one blood. That one blood is Adam's. Adam's blood is your blood. The thief's blood is your blood. The murderer's blood is your blood. The blasphemer's blood is your blood. The child molester's blood is your blood. The alcoholic's blood, the whoremonger's blood, the harlot's blood, it's your blood. God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the face of the earth. Universal guilt. Romans 3:22, there is no difference. Listen to the words from Robert Hawker. He wrote, the whole world is in a state of guilt and condemnation before God. And though some, from the pride and vanity of their own hearts, may fancy themselves less guilty than others, if all grace be withheld, we'd all be on exactly the same level. He's simply saying, apart from the mercies of the Almighty, there is in you the capability to be the most vicious and vile sinner that ever walked the earth. There is no way under heaven that you need a lesser Savior and a lesser salvation than anyone else. Talking about the universal guilt. The subtlety of Satan, Paul referred to, would convince some that you've sinned too long, you've gone too far, you've messed up too much, there's no hope for you. Too far gone. Driven by the enemy. Driven by demon oppression to despair, to the point of saying, no use in me trying. What a helpless, hopeless condition that some individual here today might feel in your soul, and you listen to the enemy and you said in your heart, and but for your religion you'd say it out loud, there's no hope for me. But I declare to you, this matter of sin is universal guilt. You're no worse or no better than anyone else. The second thing I'd mention would be the unchanging gospel. The question for every heart this morning is this: is my ruin greater than God's remedy? Satan says it is. You're too far gone. Is my disease greater than the great physician? Satan says it is. Do I dare attribute my weakness as being greater than God's strength? No. Do I dare attribute my sin abounding as greater than His grace abounding? No, no. No. Do I dare attribute Adam's blood greater power to corrupt than the blood of Christ to cleanse? Oh, no. Oh, no. Do I dare listen to anyone's word other than God's word as the authority? Oh no, don't do it. Don't do it. He says in so many places, and I love it when he says it in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. To any and every seeking sinner, Christ says, come. Come. Such a beautiful word. Now, to self-righteous religionists and to mouthing Pharisees, he says, go. Get away from me. But to every seeking sinner, he says, come. When you're doing well enough not to need him, his word to you is, get away from me. If you don't need me, I don't need you. Talking to you about our God today. But to the poor, doubting, unbelieving, yet believing sinner, the invitation is come. Come now. Let us reason together. The gospel has not changed. Quit looking elsewhere and listening elsewhere. God says, listen to me. Here's how it really is. Though your sins be as scarlet. Not if, but though. Though your sins be as scarlet. Your life is not a white garment that's just slightly stained and or gotten a little dingy. No, no. We're like cloth, dyed through and through. There's not a speck of white left anywhere. Not a single thread of purity anywhere. You're dipped and dyed with the deepest inwrought color. Though your sins be as scarlet. You're 100% wretched. That's what he's saying. Quit thinking about the few times you fell in the ditch. Get it right that your whole being is nothing but a sewer in God's sight. What you are by nature is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Good religious folks say, well, if I know my heart, you don't. You don't. It's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Though your sins be as scarlet, only the awakened sinner will ever confess this. The rest will have to go to hell. What a blessed word for seeking sinners. Come now. Let's talk about it. Do you have any trouble at all? The Lord said, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, that's a fact. Don't deny it. They shall be as white as snow. What a contrast. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. The very nature and design of the gospel is altogether intended for the poor in spirit, those bankrupt of any righteousness, those with absolutely no bargaining chips with which to bargain with the Lord. He doesn't bargain. Don't come to the Lord and say, I can't pay much. Oh no, oh no. Come in the words of Top Lady's hymn, in my hands no price I bring. I have nothing to pay. Simply to thy cross I cling. If you could just quit listening to you, wouldn't that be a blessing? If you could stop up the carnal ears of your mind and listen to Christ. Here's what he said. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he said. Don't take the side, well, I'm not that bad. Oh, yes, you are. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And your mind is racing. Well, I'm hoping I'm not that sick. Oh, you're that sick. Christ stood in the synagogue at Nazareth and he read. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Reading from Isaiah. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not the financially poor, but the spiritually poor. the spiritually bankrupt, those with no righteousness. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There is no healing for a heart not broken. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Those held in the bondage of their sins. Captives. Not free. Did you know there is no deliverance? There is no salvation for free will? Christ came to preach deliverance to the captives. Captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. There are none so blind as those who cannot see redemption in Christ alone. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. None are so bruised as those who sit under the gospel for years while Satan beats and beats and beats with his lies. It's not for you. It's for everyone else but not you. You're too bad. You've gone too far. You've sinned too much. This is the unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same for sinners young and old. It's the same for religious sinners and non-religious sinners. It's the same for vile sinners and what we'd foolishly call not so vile sinners. It's for 60-year-old veteran sinners and for those just starting out. It's an unchanging gospel. It's called the glorious gospel of the blessed God. But if it's not big enough for you, it's not glorious at all. It's called the glad tidings of good things. If it can't help you, it's not glad tidings at all. It's called great joy to all people. If it's not for you, there's no joy to be had. It's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you cannot be saved, it's no riches at all. You've bankrupted it. It's called the exceeding abundant riches of His grace. If it's grace can't save you, it's no grace at all. It's called the Word of Life. But if it be not for you, it's the Word of Death. It's called salvation. But if it can't save you, it's no salvation at all. It's called plenteous redemption. But if it's not for you, it's not plenteous at all. It's no redemption at all. I've been referring to all this gospel as an it. It's a person. It's a person. One who has conquered all and more than you'll ever face in this world. He's a redeemer. He's a king. You ask, but how can it be for such a sinner as I? Because it is not a proposed mercy depending on your merit. But it's a certain mercy based on Christ's merit. The gospel of Christ is not about you qualifying yourself to be among the deserving. That's not it. It is about Christ, the one and only deserving one, dying for you and I, the undeserving. This salvation is the free, unmerited gift of God to us in Christ. It wasn't free to Him. It cost Him everything. But it's free to you and I. And in this, the very best of saints have nothing to boast of as recommending himself or herself to God. And neither do the lowest of saints among us need to despair. It is all of grace. Our acceptance with God is not in our performance, but in the performance of our surety and our Savior, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for this unchanging gospel. A third thought, and I'll be through. The unfailing grace. I hear preachers say, well, God's done His part, now you do yours. Christ has done His part, now you do yours. The truth is, since this covenant of grace was established in eternity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you don't have a part. God determined the payment for sin. Christ suffered and endured and paid that payment. And when He cried on the cross, "It is finished," the debt was paid. You can add nothing to it. You just believe it, or you're out. That's all. John 8:24, Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am He who satisfied my Father for your sin. If you believe not that I am He, I'm the one that's done it, ye shall die in your sins." Religion says buckle down and do. God's Word says believe it is done. It is done. It's called an everlasting covenant of grace. What God has made everlasting, man cannot by any action ever destroy it or make it temporary. No. No. Aren't you glad this morning? Jeremiah said this, and I will, the Lord said in Jeremiah 32:4, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good." But what if they don't keep up their end of the covenant? We don't have an end of the covenant. It's between the Father and the Son. "I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me." Aren't you glad this morning you have the fear of the Lord in your heart? I know it's not all it should be. That's part of this unbelieving believers. It's not all it should be. We fail and we falter. But oh, to have the fear of the Lord in your heart at all. How blessed you are. How blessed you are. It is in this covenant of grace, established in the merit of Christ, that a holy God, the lesson was talking about this morning, it is in this covenant of grace that a holy God can be just and at the same time be the justifier of sinners like you and I who believe in His Son. John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Are you interested in coming to Him? Then you're part of that all. John 7:37, "If any man thirst," He never said any good man, any moral man. He said, "If any man thirst." The secret is the thirst. Is anyone thirsty? Don't ever be guilty of hearing the gospel of God's grace. And I know that's all you're going to hear in this place. Don't ever be guilty of hearing the gospel of God's grace. the atoning sacrifice of Christ's blood, and then ask, Can God do anything for me? Everything He's done is for wretched sinners like you. Just like you. Don't ever think your sin is too great. No. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. You're supposed to think that you're the worst one here this morning. You're supposed to think that. But you're not supposed to think you're so bad that our Lord can't do something for you. He can. Lord, be merciful to us. As we're surely unbelieving believers, we readily acknowledge the universal guilt. And we do believe and embrace the unchanging gospel. Lord, help us to believe and cling to Your unfailing grace. Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. Thank You for Your attention. I've enjoyed it. Look forward to this evening. Hope you'll all come back. What time is it this evening, Brother Lee? 6:30? 6:30 this evening. All right. Look forward to it. Come on, brother.
Please take your hymn book and turn to number 272.